I want to share a personal part of my life, and I want to see if it rings a bell with anybody here. We have a streaming service that we use to watch TV and movies and all that good stuff at our house, and so we have a remote for that. And okay, so I feel like you know where this is going, and I haven't even got there. It's almost a nightly affair for us to ask the question, hey, where's the remote? Has anybody seen the remote today? And so I'm not going to throw any of my family members under the bus for that, because it might occasionally be me. Ironically, it tends to end up in one of three places. It's either in the cushion, between the cushions of our couch. It's a little slippery little thing, and it just slides right down there. Or I find it, or we find it in the kitchen, go figure, or in a bedroom, yet again, go figure. I've learned that if we're going to find it, typically it's in one of those three spaces that we need to go looking. And that's what we do. Where you look typically impacts what you find. Where you look typically impacts what you find. So where do you look to find Jesus in the season of Lent? This past Wednesday, you may or may not have heard that the season of Lent began. If you're not familiar with the season of Lent, it's a Christian season that the church uses to help prepare our hearts and our minds to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on what day? Easter Sunday, absolutely. And we're going to have a great Easter celebration that day. But before we get there, we're going to spend time preparing ourselves for that day. And it'll be a wonderful day. But it's not here yet. The practice of Lent, if you are somewhat familiar with the season, over the years has sort of become a little, it's a little bit more relaxed than it used to be. Years ago, it was observed as a fairly strict sort of adherence to what you would fast. And over the years, that's kind of become a little bit more relaxed. And I've noticed that there's a trend to think that and to feel that, you know, the season of Lent is not really as, it's not really as relevant today, perhaps, as it used to be. That's an old thing that people used to do a long time ago. I don't see any need for that in my life. And in fact, if you want to get downright critical about it, you can go to the Bible and go, you know what, when I read the Bible, Jesus did not command the practice of Lent as being his follower. So if the church came up with it and Jesus doesn't say that it's something his followers should do, then can you really find Jesus in the season of Lent? Is he really in that? And my answer today, I believe you can. And I'm going to tell you where to look to find Jesus in the season of Lent, remembering that where you look typically impacts what you find. So we've got the couch cushions, we've got the kitchen, and we've got one of the bedrooms, right? Or a bedroom. There we go. All right, so three spaces, and so I present to you today three spaces that you can look in the season of Lent to find Jesus. You ready? Let's do it. Here it is. Okay, so the first place that I would suggest is in the season itself. How many days are in the season of Lent? Look at the screen. Oh, man. You guys are on it. Yes, absolutely. 40 days. There are 40 days in the season of Lent. In the early church, like go back to shortly, not very long after Jesus ascended into heaven and the church is formed and it's starting to move and get traction. The church decided that people who were going to be baptized needed to spend 3 days to fast to prepare themselves spiritually to be baptized on Easter Sunday. And then in the early 4th century, I know it feels like a history lesson, but just bear with me. In the early 4th century, the church determined that Lent should become a 40-day fast in honor of Christ's fasting in the wilderness after he was baptized by, anybody remember, John the Baptist, where? In the Jordan River. You never know what you're going to get here, right? Quizzes, questions, all sorts of stuff. So in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, you see the story of Jesus having been baptized and then going out into the wilderness, and he's led by the Holy Spirit. And so if you don't mind, can everybody read that? Can we read that together as a group? And those worshiping online, read it out loud if you like. Let's read this out loud together. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. It's funny, Matthew didn't write hangry, he wrote hungry there. Oh, okay. That season of 40 days that we read here for Jesus, when you get into the Bible, one thing that you'll learn is that you'll see this pattern of like 40 days, 40 years, and that number 40 typically got used in Scripture as a period of trials and testing, right? So how long the flood lasted, how long? 4 days, the Exodus in the wilderness, how long? 40 years. Jesus is in the wilderness and he fasts, how long does the Scripture say? 40 days, 40 nights, right? See, there's this pattern there. And so Jesus, as he fasts 40 days, and Matthew tells this story, we get to see that Jesus, he actually knew the hardship of going through tests and trials. It helps us to see how Jesus can relate to us with our trials and tests that we go through. Anyone been through a trial or a test in the last 3 months? Maybe? Okay. Well, you don't have to put your hands up. I'm sure you probably have. And in the midst of that, he goes through the trial and the test, and he chooses to put his trust in the Father, and so should we. If any of you are like me, then you fret over details. So I remember one of the first times that I had heard about the 40 days, and I looked at the period of time, and one of the things I recognized was, that's more than 40 days. What are you pulling over me? Just let it go. Some things are best just not said, right? You just let them go. And at 40 days, like, how in the world are you getting 40 days out of this? Is this just symbolic? Is it real? What are you doing? And so I had to learn and say, okay, how do you do this then, right? And so for those of you who are like, I can't even get past this, now that you've made me aware of this, you need to explain it. Otherwise, I'm lost for the rest of your sermon today. I'm going to go in just quickly tell you, because I would be one of those sitting there trying to figure it out. So what you can do is you can start on the Saturday of Easter weekend, and you're going to go back 6 weeks. All right, math test. 6 times 7 is what? 42. Wait a minute, that's more than 40. Okay, so you've got 42 days. Well, you don't fast on Sundays. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, because Sunday's a celebration day. And we'll talk about what we celebrate. So you take those 6 days out of there. Those 6 Sundays. Well, now you're down to 36, but you got to get to 40. So what do? Well, you tack on 4 days on the front side of that. Saturday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday. Voila! Ash Wednesday. Come forward. There's your season of 40 days of fasting and preparing spiritually for the celebration of Easter Sunday. I know that was like a burden on your head and your heart. Now you just feel relieved and you can just sleep at night. I know I do, right? Okay. So that being said then, you say, could you get to a point with all this? Yeah. In the 40 days, even in 40 days, you find Jesus. You see Jesus in the season. And even the days that you don't fast during the season of Lent, you still see Jesus. Because the reason you don't fast on that on the Sunday is because Sunday's a celebration day. It's a day we celebrate his resurrection from the dead. That's the victory we have in Christ because of the cross and because of his resurrection. So even, right, so the whole thing, 40, it's Jesus right there. All right, so there's the couch cushions. What about the kitchen? And this is apropos, I tell you, because I believe you can see Jesus in the sacrifice. And by that, I'm talking about fasting. So fasting, what it means, if you're not familiar with the idea of fasting is choosing to abstain from something that you need, so that in the sense of the need for that, as that arises, if you take that and you focus on worship, reading of scripture, prayer, contemplating, reflecting on the goodness of God and our need for God and his grace, right? So you take that time where instead of indulging in whatever that is, like I said, you go without it, okay? Over the years, different types of fasting have like been talked about, and originally it was just food and or drink, and as time has gone by, it's, you know, the church has, not every church, but many have gone to include fasting from sweets, soft drinks, desserts or stuff like that, right? Or perhaps social media. I got a friend of mine I saw this week. He posted on Facebook. He said, hey, just want to let you guys know I'm fasting from social media during Lent. So if you need me, text me or call me. You know, reach out to me. And like, well, there you go, right? All over the place. Different types of fasting that have, you know, it can be done and have been done over the years. And what the heart of it is not the what, as it is really what you're doing, right? Thinking of what I'm doing is I'm saying no to something that I feel like I need so that I can go without that. It's a way of saying no to the desires of the flesh in a sense. Now, some people be very strict with that, and some people be pretty loose with that idea and that topic, but I don't want to get chase those rabbits. Just the idea is, you know what, I'm going to say no to something in the flesh that will create a desire for that. And in the midst of that, I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend more time with God in the Word. I'm going to serve people in the community more during that season. Because I want to say yes to spiritual humility over a deeper way, over an extended period of time. I want to say no to the flesh so I can say yes to a deeper sense of humility before God. That's what the heart of fasting is, in essence, to be about. Not the legalism of what you can or what you can't and da-da-da. And you can fight those battles, but don't miss the point of it. Because at the end of the day, we're worshiping a God, and I was so grateful that Drew read part of the scripture today from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And you may remember this from our journey through the book of Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise God for the blessing of our salvation and all that that brings into our lives by the gift of God through his grace, not because I worked for it or in any way I have earned it, but because God in his goodness has just poured that into my life because I said yes to the gift of his son being my savior. The whole thing of Lent is about focusing on the goodness of that gift from that good God in my life. And that I'm not who I was because I am new in Christ. And he's working in me. And he ain't done yet. And hey, if you're in my family, you would say, amen, thank you, that he's not done working in Andy. And you don't need to go asking questions later about what he meant on that. You just take my word for it, okay? All right. So Jesus, he knew what it was like to sacrifice. He knew what it was like to fast. Really? Like, honestly? Yes. Okay, well, we saw it. You know, it's in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is like, okay, I'm going to go in the wilderness, and Spirit is leading me out there. And the devil's going to meet me out here. Like, he knows this is coming. This is not going to be easy, right? And there he goes, and he fasts as a spiritual practice. After 40 days and 40 nights, he's out there. And I love that Matthew says that he was what? Hungry. How do you feel when you get hungry? Like, you haven't eaten for a long time. How do you feel? How does your body feel when you go without that food? Right? Your body, after a while, your body tends to get weak, doesn't it? The fuel your body needs, by the way, what you eat is important. It makes a difference. So try to eat healthy reasonably, right? That's my holistic speech for the day. So there he is, and he hasn't eaten for 40 days. You imagine his body's weak physically, right? Because he's fully human, and he's fully God at the same time. That's part of our Christian faith. So he's tired, he's weak. When you don't eat, you just feel like you're just tired, lethargic, right? Your body's run down. And there he is in that physical dependence on the Father and the Holy Spirit out in the desert. And I appreciate the telling of this story in the gospel, because for me, when I read this, it helps me to see that God uses Jesus to affirm his identity as the presence of God on earth. Like, this little bitty baby at Christmas has grown to be a man, and he is the Christ. And he has come to deliver God's people and bring them into his kingdom. Hence, he preaches, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Right? That's his message from the beginning. That's why he's here. When we fast, we're practicing something that Jesus himself did as an act of worship. I mean, because that's what the Jewish people, they had fasted for years and years and generations. And Jesus was a Jewish man, and he grew up in that community and that spiritual habit. And he practiced fasting just like all the other Jewish men and women and families did. It was a spiritual practice to do in his relationship with God. And when he does that, it affirms his identity. It affirms his dependency on God. When we fast, we do likewise. That's why it's never something you go and you brag about. It's never something you go, well, I don't know about you, but, you know, this Lent season, I'm fasting this. And I'm really proud of myself. I know I'm smiling, but I'm suffering on the inside for Jesus. Aren't I a good Christian, God? Woo! Right? Like, it's not about what you do. And that's why the scripture, you know, when they talk about, like, when you fast, don't, like, clean yourself up. Like, don't make it something about you. And that others will look at you and go, wow, you have earned God's favor. So proud of you. You're such a good Christian. Can I be more like you, please? No. This is my spiritual humility before the God who loves me and has saved me and is saving me and sustaining me, is restoring me, who's not done working. This is about me and God. This is not about you and God or you and me. It's about me and God. And the only one that needs to know that I'm fasting is God, truly. So we see Jesus in the sacrifice of fasting as something that can have spiritual value for our relationship with God. Like, Jesus did it. If he did it and we do it, we can find Jesus in that practice, right? I mean, it's just as simple as that, really. And then there's the third place where you could find the remote in one of the bedrooms of the house. No, I'm just kidding. So in the celebration of Sunday worship, which is, we've all come to do here today. We've gathered to do what? Celebrate. You said, well, you already told us that. Yeah. Did you catch when Marla stepped up here, one of the very first words out of her mouth this morning was she said the reason that we're here today. Did you catch that? Almost every week, One of the very first things that we say when we stand up here and we greet you is to make really clear why we're here. Isn't it a great time to celebrate God? We say, that's why we're here. It's not about us, it's about God. We're going to celebrate Him. He's such a good God. In the celebration of Sunday mornings, or whenever we're gathering and celebrating, we're collectively saying, thank you, Jesus, for being a perfect Savior for an imperfect me. And you are truly worth celebrating. And that is exactly what I want to do today. On the other 6 days of the week during Lent, I choose to reflect on, be remorseful over the fact that I am a sinner who has sinned against God. I have no hope without Jesus. And I want to recognize that, right? In my life, that is who I am. That is the story of my life. I have deserved death as the payment for my sin. That's one side of my spiritual journey. But there's also another side of the coin. And that's today. Right? Like that celebration part that says, you know what? The other side of the coin is He was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Right. Absolutely. On the third day, He what? He rose again. And it's good that we celebrate that. And when you're celebrating that great act of God, historically, that's a day that we've said, well, we're not going to mourn and fast on that day because that's a day we celebrate. The other 6 days we can mourn and fast, but on the seventh day, we won't celebrate the goodness of God because He's worthy of it. He took my death upon Himself. He was the substitute for me. Holy cow. We call that substitutionary atonement. Those of you who like theology, you're welcome. He was the substitute in our place that enabled us to be at one with God. His righteousness upon us, because we were unrighteous, unclean, unholy, unable to be with God in our sin. Sin and God don't mix, by the way. He's a holy God. Sin has to be dealt with. Thank you, Jesus, that He was a substitute. He took our place so we didn't have to do that. So on Sunday, we, woo, party on, right? Absolutely. So we find Jesus even in the celebration on Sundays when we worship together, just as we do in the sacrifice of fasting, just as we do in the season, the 40 days. Where you look typically impacts what you find. Now I'll share part of my story. As a young adult, because I recognize that ship has sailed. It's sailing. I like to think it's sailing. Maybe it's not sailed yet. I don't know. That takes more cups of coffee to contemplate that one. So when I was younger, let's do that. I used to think that Lent was silly. Because everything that I have taught you today, I knew. I can celebrate that every single day of the year. Why do I need 40 days to focus on something that I need to be remembering and celebrating every other day of the year? That's silliness. What I was seeing was that Lent competed, if you will, with my Christian freedom. I began to learn, it took some time, and had to be and some teaching, right? To be honest, a lot of it as I went through seminary. But I began to learn Lent was not competing against my spiritual freedom, but in fact was complementing it. The Lenten season was reminding me of how much I really need and depend on God in my life. And it was a time in which I began to learn when I would observe and practice that season of Lent, that actually would sort of refresh me. It would refresh my perspective on just the magnitude of God's grace in Jesus that gives me hope. And it's given me a future. that I wouldn't have without Jesus. And also found that it sort of was kind of like resetting me spiritually as I was drawing near to Easter Sunday, right? Confess your sins one to another, right? So I have had a tendency before to be able to just, you go through life, I know I'm a Christian. I know where I've come from. I know what Jesus has done for me. I know I'm free to live daily in the power of God's grace in me. And I've had that the tendency to sort of go, I know that's there, but I really don't focus on it a whole lot. And I just sort of do life, right? I'm just doing that daily grind. And in that daily grind, I've noticed that there's been times where I've kind of gotten wrapped up in the grind and let the grind have the priority in the way I'm looking at me and my work week and what's happening in life around me and my faith walk with God. And I found that that season of Lent helps to kind of go, beep, reset. Let's turn around. And that has been good. I guess, you know, it's been good for my soul. Like, it's been good for me to have that. And I've appreciated that. And in full transparency, there are some years that I really dig into Lent, and there's some years I don't. You don't have to observe or practice Lent. It doesn't make you a better Christian. It doesn't make you a worse one if you don't. It doesn't matter. But you can find Jesus in it. And the goal of our journey is to look for Jesus. And the things that we do, things that will draw us closer to Him, things that connect us with His story, connect us with His life, the things that He has taught and done, to find inspiration in Jesus, to find help and to find hope. And if fasting helps you to do that, go for it. If doing a devotional during Lent, a special one that helps you focus on the season of Lent and what it's about, preparing you to celebrate Easter Sunday, do that. If you already have spiritual, like a spiritual rhythm that's got you focusing on that like every day, keep doing what you're doing. Because it's not about the, here we go, the legal, you have to do. Jesus freed us from having to do all that kind of stuff. But He does invite us to draw near to Him. And the things where we can find His presence and some of His practices. And I think Lent perhaps can do that. You can find a Savior who has walked a mile in your shoes, but was without sin. I think you can find a Savior who understands you and can empathize with you, with your hard journey in life, because He knows 40 days, trials, tests. He understands it. He did it. He can relate to you. And if you'd like to learn about how Jesus can specifically and most exactly relate to you in your life through His life, don't miss a Sunday during Lent, because that's exactly where I'm going to take us. We're going to look at how Jesus can relate to us because of what He experienced in His life. And my hope is that that will help prepare our hearts and our minds. When we come to Easter, we're not just celebrating a God who's far off and did this great, super cool thing, but a God who says, I know you. And I understand how tough it is. I can relate to your trials and your struggles and your temptations and your persecution, your suffering. I get it, man, because like I went through that. And I've made a way for you to overcome all of that. And would you just trust and follow me? Because I can relate to your journey. I can save you through it all. and I can restore you along the way, and I can sustain you every day. Please trust me. And I think you'll find that he's a trustworthy God every single day. There's nothing you can throw at God that you can't trust him for. There's no sin that he can't overcome. There's no wall he can't kick down, knock down, as the song lyric says. There's no financial hardship he can't see you through. There is no emotional baggage that he can't help you unpack and overcome. And there's no anxiety and fear that he cannot speak peace and life over. We sang that this morning already. That's the God we worship during Lent. I truly think you can find Jesus in Lent. Amen. Today was different. Today was just a day to teach and try to connect, educate a little bit as we're entering the season, preparing for Easter. A little different. Ephesians was hard. That hit us heavy and hard. And so, no worries. We're kind of jumping back in that pool next week. But I think we'll find ourselves being encouraged, and that's really the hope, right? Amen. All right, so if our worship team would come, if y'all would stand with us.